Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home, where we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And Church at Home, so that you don't have to go to church and listen to the lies and all of the smooth talk of the preachers which lead people astray. Do you want to be led astray? Do you want to be actually against Jesus Christ? Have you ever thought, is there one place in the Bible which tells me where I can really begin and what I really need to do and what Jesus promised that he would do? And the answer is yes. And that chapter is John chapter 14. So this will be like a verse-by-verse Bible study. This will be different than a regular church at home. Now, other places in the Bible can come close to this, but for each person to know what is the most important thing that Christ requires of me. Now, also, this moves on over to chapter 15 as well, especially the first part. So let's come to chapter 14 and verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. The reason you have to also believe in Jesus is because the very first verse in the Gospel of John starts out, in the beginning was the Word, who is Jesus Christ. And the Word was with God, and God is the Father. And the Word was God. So Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. Verse 2, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. You can read that in Revelation 21 about New Jerusalem. And know this, only those who are in the first resurrection are going to actually live in New Jerusalem. And those in the first resurrection include all the patriarchs, all the true Christians. And the fake Christians think they're going to heaven. But they're not. If it were otherwise, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now think about this, how important each and every true Christian really is to God the Father and Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is there preparing a place for everyone who earns salvation. Think about that. And they earn it through Jesus Christ. And they earn it through grace. And grace comes from God. And grace gives you the ability to love God and keep his commandments. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. And where I am going, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Now, the next verse is one of the most important verses in the Bible, because this tells you, in summary, the whole application of salvation. You couple other verses with this, that the Father draws us and Christ brings us to the Father. Both work together for Christians to be called, to call them to repentance, to call them to baptism, to call them so that they will become true Christian. And baptism is by full immersion in water, as we have seen. Now, John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way. Now, the way means there is no other way. The world likes to believe that all religions are headed toward God in different ways. That, my friend, is a satanic lie. Jesus is the way. And Jesus said, none comes to the Father except through me. We'll see that. So unless you have the true Jesus, because there are many versions of false Jesus, if you think of the Jesus that's on a crucifix in your Sunday-keeping church, that's a fake Jesus in a fake Christian church. Jesus is the way. You walk in his footsteps. You keep the commandments that he has said. Let's see the next one. He said, the way and the truth. What is truth? The word of God is truth, as Jesus said in John 17 and verse 17. And what does the word of God do for us? It sanctifies us as we obey it, as we live it, as we do it, as we pray about it, as we think on it, and as we study the word of God. The word of God is truth. God never lies. Jesus never lies. There's no lie in the truth. He is the truth. God has the power that he inspired all the apostles to write what he wanted them to write and be preserved for us. Now, let's understand another fact about the New Testament especially. Considering the whole Bible, only 40 men were involved in writing it, and they all agree with each other because God is the one who gave the inspiration. Now, the New Testament, only 8 men wrote the New Testament, and the New Testament is not filled with lies, except in the modern translation. And in them, the NIV has 35,000 missing words, Old and New Testament. Now, the blessing of it all is this. All of that can be documented. This is why we have produced the Holy Bible in its original order, a faithful version, because we stayed true to the inspired original Greek that the New Testament was written in. And every Bible that we send out another booklet by Joseph Ackerman, who took 27 translations and compared verse by verse through the whole New Testament and revealed all of the errors that the fake Christians and the fake Bible translators tried to put into the Bible. Jesus is the way and the truth, and notice, and the life. That means eternal life. If you believe an immortal soul going to heaven, you are deceived. The Bible teaches the resurrection from Genesis to Revelation. No souls go to heaven. The Bible says the soul that sins, it shall die. It is the spirit of man that goes back to God when people die, not the soul. And James wrote that the body without the spirit is dead. So likewise, faith without works is dead. So it is the Spirit. Now, when there's baptism, laying on of hands, and receiving the Spirit of God, which we're going to get into here in just a little bit, then that Spirit of God unites with the spirit of man that every man and woman has. And remember, for all you feminists out there, the last 3 letters of the word woman is man, because woman was taken out of man, beginning with Adam. Now, notice what he says, continuing. No one comes to the Father except through me, through Jesus Christ. If you would have known me, you would have known my Father also, but from this time forward you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be sufficient. And he said to him, Have I been with you so long a time, and you have not known me, Philip? The one who has seen me has seen the Father. Why then do you say, show us the Father? That was quite something. The first coming of Christ was an absolute wonderful work of God, where the one who became Jesus Christ, the Word, emptied himself of his divinity to a small pinpoint of life to be begotten in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And he came into the world as an infant, born like all other people, so that no one could say, Lord, you don't know what it's like to be a human being. And he will say, yes, I do. I was born an infant just like you. Let's come down here, continuing verse 10. Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you. Now notice, and this is why we have the faithful version. And if you don't have it, you better get it. Because you will find you have never been able to understand the Bible as well as how this has been translated. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak from my own self, but the Father himself who dwells in me does the works. Isn't that a profound statement? The Spirit of the Father in Christ was leading and guiding and directing him in everything that he did. And he's telling them about the Holy Spirit of God because he's going to reveal to them for the very first time about the Spirit of God and as it relates to them. So let's go on. Believe me that I'm in the Father and Father is in me, but if not, believe me because of the works themselves. And he did works that no one ever did. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who believes in me shall also do the works that I do, and greater works than these shall he do because I'm going to the Father. And I could explain to you that in the book of Acts, that part of greater works actually happened. We don't have time to go into it here and digress. Let's go on. Here's a promise. And whatever you shall ask in my name, this I will do so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now then, Jesus also said in the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6 that we are to ask that the will of God that is done in heaven be likewise done on earth. So no one's going to ask a prayer, oh God, murder this person for me. No, because that's murder in your heart and you're sinning. Not whatever you ask. Oh God, give me $20 million. No, that's lust and covetousness. Whatever you ask according to the will of God, he will do if you ask in his name. And it must be asked with a true and sincere heart on your part. Now, verse 15. Here's one of the most profound verses in this chapter. And this also tells you it has to be done the way of God, and it is conditional. If you don't do it the way that God says, you are going against the will of God, and he is not going to even consider it. Now, if you ask a prayer against the will of God, and you find that that is answered, guess who answered that prayer? Not God, but none other than Satan the devil. Now then, verse 15, if, that's conditional, and there are 1,700 ifs in the Bible, and every if applies to us as human beings, because God has given us free moral agency. The acronym is IFMA, Independent Free Moral Agency, IFMA. If you love me, now where did we start? Do you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being? Do you love Jesus Christ because he came, divested himself of his glory, became a human being so that he could become the perfect sacrifice of God the Father so that you could have forgiveness of sin through his shed blood? Now think about that. And also think about this. Jesus said that no one takes his life from him, but he lays it down for the sheep. And those who are true Christians are the sheep of God. So if you love me, keep the commandments, namely my commandments. Do you keep the commandments of God? Do you even know them? Well, you should memorize them, because with the Spirit of God, God wants to write them in your mind and inscribe them on your heart, that's the way that you operate from the inside out. And after all, that's what God is concerned about. The outward, even the most evil people in the world can do good things as far as people seeing different behavior. But their minds are full of evil. So God wants your mind changed. He wants the laws and commandments in your heart and in your mind. If you love me, keep the commandments, namely my commandments. Now stop and think of this. Since Jesus was the Lord God of the Old Testament, guess who gave the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai? None other than the one who became Jesus Christ. Are those his commandments? Yes. Are they also the Father's commandments? Yes. Now notice what is going to happen next. Verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that it may be with you throughout the age, even the Spirit of the truth. The Holy Spirit comes from God. It is the Spirit of truth. And this is why you are baptized, so you can receive the Spirit of truth. And the Spirit of truth within you then, united with your spirit, and that spirit comes from the Father and Jesus Christ, as we will see. The Spirit of the truth. Now, let's stop right here. What is the Holy Spirit of God? You can write for that. The Holy Spirit of God is the power of God which comes from the Father and comes from Christ. It is not a third person in a triune God. That is all part of fake Christianity. If you believe in a Trinity, you believe in false Christianity. Do you want to believe in true Christianity? Then you believe in the Father and in the Son. And the Holy Spirit is the power of God, which gives you the ability to think and reason with the truth, gives you the ability to love God even more, gives you the ability to keep the commandments of God. Now notice the next phrase, which the world cannot receive. It's impossible for the world to receive it because, as we will see, as Jesus said, you must keep the commandments of God. And the world doesn't keep the commandments of God. Well, what if you keep most of them? Well, think of it this way. Here's a cliff on one side of a ravine, and here's a cliff on the other side of the ravine. You have to jump over it. You have to jump over the ravine to get from here to there. And from here is this world, and there is the kingdom of God. Now, if you only have half the commandments, what happens? You jump, you go down the ravine, and die. You have to have all the commandments, and you have to have all the Spirit of God to get from here to there. You come out of the world and you are living God's way, though you're living in the world. You're not of the world. World cannot receive because it perceives it not, nor knows it, but you know it because it dwells with you and shall be within you. Very important to understand. There are probably a lot of people that have the Spirit of God with them because they're trying to do something that the Bible says. God's Spirit will be with you, but it may leave if you go against God. But that's not good enough. You can't have just the Spirit of God with you. It's got to be within you. The Spirit of God uniting with your spirit of man, with the begettal of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus started out this whole section. If you love me, keep the commandments, namely mine. And he got them all from the Father. Verse 18, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you yet a little while. The world will see me no longer, but you shall see me. Because I live, you shall live also. In that day, you shall know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. What is the assurance that you know? Now, let's understand, we've already covered. If you're under law, that means you have no connection with God. If you keep the commandments of God, you are not under law. Keeping the commandments of God, you need the grace of God and the Spirit of God to keep it correctly. And you are under grace. The whole world is under law and are guilty before God. And they haven't repented, they haven't been baptized, and too much of Christianity today is the fake Christianity. Now, notice what Jesus said. Verse 21, very important. The one who has my commandments and is keeping them. Very important. Present tense participle means constantly keeping them. Do you have the commandments of God? And do you want them within your heart and mind, as God says, that he wants to give them to you? Well, think about what we're reading here. The one who has my commandments and is keeping them, that is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Now notice, we're going to see that the love of God is conditional. If that's where we started out in verse 15, right? If. This was a mystery to Judas, who was not Iscariot, and he said to him, Lord, what has happened that you are about to manifest yourself to us and not to the world? How are you going to do that? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, do you love Jesus? Really? What will you be doing if you love him? Now, because it starts out with a condition, if, that means you have to do something. God has already done what he's going to do and will do more if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. That's his whole message. Not coming in and picking and choosing, oh, I like this and I like that, but I don't like that. You know, the way that Jesus treated some people was just downright terrible. He told the man whose father died, who wanted to follow him, but he wanted to go bury his father, he said, let the dead bury their dead. Now, I can't accept that. Well, you better. Because when it says mine word, that means everything he taught. And my Father will love him, and we, the Father and the Son, will come to him and make our abode with him, that is, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the power of God, not a third person in a triune God. That is pagan, and that is false, and that's what you need to prove if that's your hang-up. See? Now, a lot of people don't like it, having their sacred fake Christian cows gored, but that's what we need to do in order for you to understand about what Jesus Christ is all about. What he thought, what he taught, what he preached, what you ought to do, what God the Father wants you to do. Now let's read on. Verse 24. The one who does not love me does not keep my words. How about you? Do you keep the words of Jesus Christ? Do you keep the Ten Commandments? Do you keep them so that God is working with you to be in you? But you have to be baptized first before that happens. It's not going to happen by you just doing it yourself, because that's your works. You have to do the works of God. And the works of God begins with repentance and baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit. I'll read that again. The one who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Now you need to think about that. That is really the important thing you need to do. Now, let's come to 1 John 5, verse 2. Same author, writing the same thing a little differently. Verse 2, it says, by this standard we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So any fake Christian minister who says, oh, the commandments are burdensome.
Any human parent will break the law for the sake of love. And what will really turn your heart to God is not when you hear his laws, which were given for our good, by the way, but they were powerless because there wasn't enough leverage in our action to keep the law. So what God did when he sent his son, and this is why we get excited in church, and this is why tears fill our eyes when we think about Jesus, and this is why the gospel is still good news in the world today, because God broke the law for love. I said to every sinner, God broke the law for love.
And if you're keeping Sunday, you are doing your works. And the works of Satan, the devil, the god of this world. Now, you might say, well, why do you say it that way? To see if the words can penetrate into your heart and mind, to stir you up so that you can repent and love God and receive the Holy Spirit of God and grow in grace and knowledge and be in the first resurrection when Jesus Christ returns. That's why. Now, not only do you need to get the Holy Bible in its original order, you need the book, A Cold Holidays or God's Holy Days, which, because that will tell you an awful lot more than what we've been able to cover here. And you need the book, Lord, What Should I Do? And finally, a third book, a wonderful book, entitled, From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God, Why Were You Born? And that answers the question, why did God create human beings, and why were you born? And all of those will help you understand. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.